you are subject to do a job for you for free. What's your relationship between you and him?
To do a job?
Do a job. For free, you know. Take me... Yeah. Take me something... Bring me something from America. Shlech. Buy me a watch. Bring me something from America. Yeah, well, what is he?
Shlech.
What did we learn last time? What are you... When you say it, bring me something from America for me, for free, you know, as a favor... You basically, you are borrowing him, right, his physical body. You have borrowed him. You can borrow a chair, you can borrow a table, you can borrow a human being. How can you borrow a human being? Ask him to do something for you for free. You're borrowing him. If he gets in trouble, then you've got responsibility to get him out of trouble. Just like if you break the chair which you borrow, you have to fix it. So if you ask him to do something where you consider like you're borrowing him, so you also, if he gets in trouble, you have to fix it. You have to get him out of trouble.
That's only if he
gets in trouble. For example, he ends up in prison because of you, and he can't get out, then you have to get him out. Because you borrowed him, you haven't returned him. You borrowed a chair, you have to return the chair. You borrow him, because you ask him to do a job, you have to return him. He ends up in prison, you have to return him. You have to get him out.
There was only one sheet that you treated as a borrowing.
No, both everyone, the Chassid Sofer said at the end of the day, everyone held like that. Yes, that's how he came. But if he's not in trouble, he has to spend money, get himself out of trouble. At the end of the day, he got himself out of jail by spending money. Then I don't have to pay because I borrowed you. I didn't borrow your money. You're out of jail. No problem. I returned you. You're to yourself. You got yourself out of jail. Okay, very good. I caused you to lose money. Okay, that's indirect damages. You don't have to pay. That's what we saw in basically general, what we concluded, how we look at it, something to do a job for you. So let's discuss this shaila that came to face. Somebody is waiting at the roundabout, at the kika. He's waiting with lots of... He's just gone to IKEA, and he's bought lots of stuff in IKEA. And he's trying to flag down a taxi. So he puts up his hands, he sees a taxi. The taxi driver, stops by him. And he says, I've got a lot of things inside the shop. Can you wait while I put things in? Quickly, I'm not allowed to stay here in this area. You're not allowed to stop at the kika. There's the gates of rules. Yeah? So, quickly, hurry up. So, he's going in and out, getting out, filling up the bonnets, the boots. The boots of the car.
The trunk
of the car. And a police guy came along and gave a fine, a ticket to the taxi driver. A considerable fine. Now, then basted. The taxi drivers say, why did I get a fine? Because this Ruvain stopped me in the place which is illegal.
You didn't have to stop.
I thought you only had like one bag next to him. I've got to go in and out the street. But what he said, no, I've got lots of things inside.
So you could have gone right there.
And he took his time going in and out. He caused me to get fined. He has to pay me for that.
There's not even a grumma here.
He has to pay me for
that. He's decided to stay in the car and try to get his fare. That's his decision.
Okay. Before we look at it as, you know, this
okay.
Let's try and define exactly what exactly is the relationship between the person in the streets and the taxi driver.
He's a sakhir. He's getting paid for what he's doing.
Okay.
He's renting his car, basically,
renting
and the
car
driver.
Renting his car.
The car and the driver.
No, not renting his car. He's not completely...
No, he's hiring the car.
He's hiring the driver. Using the car.
Hiring the driver. Okay. He's not even borrowing the driver.
So it's getting worse.
He's just renting the driver. He's paying the driver for his services. Yes? And then he gets fined in the process. Is there any reason based on what we just said up to now, should now Reuven have to pay the taxi driver for the damages which was caused?
Paul Day should say he's not going.
Yeah, for all opinions. He's not borrowing him because he's renting him. Yes? Secondly. And secondly, he didn't get any trouble. What happens? It's the money in the taxi driver who got into trouble, not him. So therefore, no reason on earth he would have to pay. Let's look at the first Maramokim, and seems to fit for the first Maramokim. Me Shagielo Hezik Pavonim Machmashlicha Shlucha. Somebody got damaged in his money because of the job he was asked to do. Asked to do a job, and then he, because of that job, he lost money. Ain Hamashaleach Chayv Shalom Nizik. The one who asked him to do the job. In our case, Reuven asking the taxi driver to do a job, and the taxi driver got damaged because of that job. He got damaged. Reuven does not have to pay for that damage. It's a clear cut case of a Beferish Shulchan Aruch where I asked the taxi driver to do a job. I, because he was doing it, he got damaged money, he got fined. I didn't have to get the pay for it. The taxi driver has to suffer his own losses. Seems to be an outright Shulchan Aruch.
Is the taxi driver a Shaliach?
He's a Shaliach.
No, he's a Sakhir.
Yeah,
so this is a din of a Shaliach.
Yeah. A Shaliach is a Sakhir. What's a Sakhir? Sakhir is I'm asking you to do something on my behalf.
Yes,
I'm paying you.
For money.
Yeah, for money.
You can have a shliach for money.
Yeah.
You can have a paid shliach.
Typically, a shliach is for
which
money.
Which is a sakhir.
Yeah.
It's shliach a form of sakhir.
Yeah. Okay. So, outright shulchan aruch. Problem is, it's a chuvas mabit, and I want you to try and help me understand this chuvas mabit. Chuvas mabit. Says the mabit. Echad shesholach lachavera likdos lo bias. Ma'akim. Reuven asked Shimon, please Shimon, I want you to I want you to go ahead and buy a house from the Goy.
That's his agent.
Yeah, I want you to go to the Goy and buy the house from the Goy. He's selling a house in Yerushalayim, I want you to buy the house for me.
In my name.
V'holach, v'osa heskim in the akum. So Shimon's a good boy, he is. He went and did the deal with the Goy. With the Arab in Yerushalayim. Achadayin lo nigma mecha b'nei. They hadn't yet come to actual signing the contract. They came to discussion of the cost and all the benefits, but they actually hadn't signed the deal. V'hamashilech nisracharet. And Reuven changed his mind. The Reuven, the one who sent Shimon to do the job of buying the house, suddenly said, oh, I've changed my mind. I don't want to buy the house anymore. Miniklos buys it up. He doesn't want to buy it now. The Akam, and now the Arab, Tova L'Shiach, he goes and makes a claim against Shimon, the agent, in his courts, in the secular courts, Behizman Adi Shaka, and he brings the Arab, Edim, which he hires to say lies, Shenigma Hamecha, to state that the sale was already finalized between him and Shimon, but Ofen Shneschai Bashiach Likach Abayas, and the secular court gave a decision that Shimon, yes, bought this house from Reuven, and he has to now pay for it, bought this house from the Arab, and he has to pay. So what happened over here? What happens over here, the points in my bits, if you look at the picture, what happens, Reuven sent Shimon to buy a house for the Goy. That was his job. Shimon went to the Goy, discussed terms, didn't actually finish the deal. Reuven then backed out of the deal before it was finished. And then the Arab, the Goy, made a whole pack of lies in the secular courts, which conclusion was the secular court decided that Shimon bought the house already from the Goy, which, and he hasn't paid for it, and you, Shimon, has to now pay the Goy. That was the decision of the secular court. So now Shimon goes back to Beis Din to take Reuven to Beis Din and says, look, I was doing a job for you. I was going to buy a house for you. You backed out at the last moment. What happened? Now I got damaged. I was forced to buy this house from the Goy because of the job I was doing for you. You owe me money. I got damaged. because of the job I was doing for you. I had to lay out money to buy this house for the door, which I didn't want to do, on your behalf, and then you backed out, and I got damaged because the secular courts forced me to buy it, even although it wasn't true. So I was doing a job and I got damaged. So what's the din? Says the Muppet. What would you say? Does he have to pay or not? What would you say?
You said no based on what we have.
What would you say? I sent you to do a job. You don't get in prison. All it does, that job meant, is that you lost money. What would you think will be the results? Do I have to compensate you for the loss of money or not? What would you think? Should be a result?
It shouldn't
have to, because if I ask you to do a job and you lose money over it, I don't have to compensate you. That's what we learned up to now. Only if you get locked up in prison, you have to get him out. But you lose money, you don't. So you only lost money here. Says the Muppet, Chayev HaMashet L'Shalem.
What does he have to pay?
He has to pay him back because he was doing a job for him, and in the course of the job, he lost money, you have to pay him.
What is that
conflicts with everything we've learned up to now. We learned if you lose money, you don't get compensated, only if you get locked up in jail.
How did he lose money?
Because he was forced to buy the house.
The house instead of the money.
No, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So he had to pay in the difference.
He doesn't want it, even.
That's irrelevant.
Did he
lose
that? In his mind, he lost all the money. What do you mean? He didn't have to money which he wasn't going to spend on his children's education. Now he has to put it now to buy a house.
The base thing was behind the
house.
You sold the house.
So now Ruben owes that.
Was there monetary damage? What kind of damage is the Muppet?
Yes, monetary damage.
So here this is different because he did the shlichus, meaning at the end of the day, Ruben got what he initially asked for. Meaning at the end of the day, Ruben did it. It's not like Ruben sending Shimon to go to jail. Ruben sending Shimon to go buy the house. In the end, he got the house.
I changed his mind. Before you bought it, I said, don't buy it anymore.
But at the time of the shlichus, when he initially sent him, at that point, that was his desire. So basically, simply enforcing the initial shlichus agreements. I mean, it could be, had they not given that, they would have said something else. You know, because of that, you have to do 20 jumping jacks, well, you know, get Malkus, you know, so you know, maybe then it would be a different story. But here, because it's exactly what Ruben asked for, maybe that's why Beis Din is treating it differently in this case.
It's nice that you were mitcharet, but in the end, the house got bought. I mean,
can I back out of a deal before it's done?
Yeah.
Yep, so that backed out.
Usually
here comes the lawyer. If you back out of a deal before you come,
you can back out of the deal before
you sign the contract, you can back out of the deal.
However, he actually doesn't even say it's Bitora's damages. And I don't think it's Bitora's damages. I think it's because once he made him a shliach, and he put himself out in being the kind of shlichus, he can no longer take back that shlichus. And so he has the house, and he's to go through with the shlichus.
Dafyomi, I think I'm doing Gittin now, yes? Yeah. It says clearly in Gittin. Oh, have we got another page? Oh, sorry.
All right,
hold
on there.
Yeah.
Push him off that one.
What Gittin says, I make a shlichus, and then before he does his job, I tell him I'm backing out of it. I can stop. You can stop being a shlichus.
Yes.
Here, I sent you to buy a house from the Arab. Yes, from the Arab. Before the deal was done, before the contract was signed, I said, change my mind. You know that. You're no longer a shlichus of mine. Now you get claimed in the secular court. False witnesses come, which now force you, the shlichus, to buy the house. And you now lost money because of that. And now you're making a claim against me who sent you there. So, well, your job caused me this loss. Well, up to now, we learnt. I sent you to do a job. And you get in prison, I have to get you out of prison. But you lose money, I don't have to pay the money. Here, for some reason, the Muppet says you have to actually pay the money he lost. What? Why? Why do you have to pay? So the Tashbatz explains the Muppet. Then we'll come back to our case and see where does our case hold according to this Tashbatz. Marsha Kosev Rashba. That the Rashba wrote, where you get damage because of a job, you don't get paid for that damage. Yeah, you get locked up, you have to get them out, but if he gets monetary damage, then you don't have to pay. That was the Shulchan Aruch, the first Shulchan Aruch, which is the Rashba. You don't have to pay for the money. That day he writes, Rotzloma Shalia Lov Eliyah Mevachutz, like you said. That's when, you know, you're doing the job, And nothing because of the job. For some reason, in the course of the job, you got damaged. Okay? You got some months, you're fine. In the course of the job, nothing to do with the actual job. Then, of course, I who sent you on the job, don't have to pay for it. Okay? You're muzzled, nothing to do with me. You didn't get damaged because of the job. You was doing the job and you got damaged at the time you were doing the job. Munchy damage. Then there's the Rashba, the Shulchan Aruch. I don't have to compensate you. But if you got the damage, monetary damage, because of the item which I told you to do, because of the job, that's why they're fining you, because of the job, then in such a case, Vadai Harashba Moza Shalom Mashiach, Lashalim Kol Nezek Abol Hashem, Vadai, the one who asked you to do the job, to do that job, will have to compensate the Shliach for the monetary loss he got because of the job. Yes. Yeah. So I tell you the example. Yes, the example maybe we talked about last time. I asked you to bring into the country. Yeah, Bocher asked you to bring the other Bocher into the country.
Cigarettes.
Even though you shouldn't be talking about cigarettes, but cigarettes, okay. And it's illegal. I asked you to bring 20 packets in order, and I can sell it and do that. And you get caught in the customs, yes? And you get fined because of the legal entry of those items into the country which you're not supposed to bring. So what is that? I asked you to do a job. Why did you get fined? Because the job made you get fined. The job of actually bringing illegal stuff into the country is what caused the fine. So therefore, according to what the Tashbats is saying over here, I'm asking to do a job where that job is going to cause you a monetary penalty, then me who sent you to do that job will have to compensate the shir for that monetary penalty, because that's what the job includes.
So what's the Rashba referring to?
And the Rashba is talking about, I asked you to go from, to take goods from, let's say, Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, and on the way from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh,
get a car accident.
Yeah, there's a, some robbers come along, some bandits come along, and they hold you up, and your money got stolen. Yes? Nothing to do with the job.
It has to do with the job. If I didn't have the job, I wouldn't be there.
No, it wasn't got an area which necessarily has bandits, so it's not. The job doesn't intrinsically mean that there's going to be a penalty for it in the course of the job. It's not the job that calls you. You happen to have your muzzle that the bandits happen to be in that place at that time and hold you up and steal your money. That's where it's not the job calls you.
Because
that's the whole job is to try and avoid the customs. And instead of avoiding the customs, the job.
That's not what we concluded last week.
Well, the job here wasn't to try and avoid the Arab who was selling the house.
Yeah, the job, therefore, over here, the case of the Mafis, told you, go and buy the house from the Goy. As soon as you start dealing with the Goy, especially in those times, probably also now, to some extent, a different Goy, you're dealing with a dangerous character where you're now. You're open to having false claims against you because of the deal which you're actually creating, and therefore you lost money because of that job.
This is not what we said last week, though. And last week, in the case of the antennas, it was clearly because of the job that he got fined, and we said he'd be punter.
So therefore, where we're holding at the moment, I send you on a job and you get in prison, I have to get you out of prison. I send you on a job and you get monetary loss, I don't have to pay for monetary loss. However, if the monetary loss is because of the job, intrinsic loss, that the job will actually bring the monetary loss, then I do have to pay for it, and that's the case of my bits. Now, look at the case which we discussed here, and you can even relate it to the case of the antenna, if you want, from last 2 weeks ago. Yeah? What's the case over here? Tell me, is our case over here like the case of the Rashba, like the case of the Babbit? What's our case? I'm a taxi driver. There's a taxi driver. Reuven standing at the kicker and waves down the taxi. It's expecting the taxi driver stops, expecting him to just get straight in. He only has one little bag. No, Reuben says, you know, it's not just one little bag. I've just been into IKEA. I've got all the stuff in IKEA. Can you wait over here? Wait over here. I'll bring all the stuff in and out.
He said, you said not to wait over
wait
here.
Wait over here. Yes.
That's, okay,
yes.
He didn't say that before.
Wait over here. I'll take in the stuff okay. in and out of IKEA quickly in order to fill up the trunk of the taxi. In the meantime, the police officer comes, catches the illegal stopping of the taxi driver, gives him a big fine. Yes, who has to pay for the fine? At the beginning of the show, he said it's bullshit. He's not in prison, he just pays money. Because of the job he was asked to do, he loses money. Of course, the taxi driver suffers. But now, I'm asking, is it like the Marbitz case? Or is it like the Rashford case? Is it like we said, the Rashford says you're off the hook? Because it's much you lost in the course of a job, you're off the hook. Or is it like the Marbitz case? It's the job which caused you to get the monetary fine, and therefore when the job you're being asked to do, which actually causes the monetary fine, then the one who asked you to do will have to pay. In what way is it connected to the Rashford or to the Marbitz?
The driver is stuck. He's got the guy's packages in his car. He can't take off. He's stuck.
He can move to a parking spot. He doesn't have to stay.
So is it like the Muppets? Is it like the
Muppets? I think.
Yes? So I asked you to do a job. Wait by me. Wait for me. While in this dangerous position, which is obviously illegal, and it's royal to get a fine. And this is what you're supposed to do for me. And you get a fine because of the job which I'm asking you, then it's exactly like Muppet. So therefore, everyone's saying now, who should pay for the fine?
No,
Ruben or the taxi driver?
Ruben.
Well, so everyone's changed their mind.
I disagree.
Only according to him.
I disagree.
Why is that not like the customs case?
So then maybe also the customs case. Maybe we're wrong in the customs case. Maybe the customs case is also, you should get the one who sends him should have to pay.
Oh.
What's that?
Actually, for Paravera.
He doesn't have to do that.
We don't need Shlichusim in order to be.
Why?
Because it's not because you're Shliach.
It's only because of the first one.
It's not because you are me that have to pay. Shliach is a concept, and when we say you're Shliach, that means you are me. Ein Shlichusim means you are not me because of Ein Shlichusim. But at the end of the day, even though you're not me, but I asked you to do. Ein
Shlichusim is not just my Shlichus when you represent.
Yes.
I disagree with that. It's whenever I send you to do any of there, even though I don't give you a power of attorney, I go send you to the market to buy chazer. You say, to pick up the chazer, not to buy it.
The right is, ask you a question. The Ferris Gemara. I tell you to do an Avera.
Yeah.
You do an Avera. Yes? Is the Meshalech at any way responsible for that Avera which is done? Any way at all? Any way responsible?
Oh, responsible monetarily?
No. Any way responsible?
So it's a Machlokas Rishonim.
So the Gemara says the Rishonim concludes the Chayav B'Dei Shamayim. If there's no connection at all, then how can it be Chayav B'Dei Shamayim? It means that
there is a connection to Shmaim.
So for Hilchos Mominos,
but
we do not need
the Shliach is Malei Chayim. The Shliach is Malei Chayim. So the taxi driver is the Shliach.
No, the Shliach has to pay.
We can't both be Chayim.
No, the Shliach has to pay the Mishtara, but he can go back to the Mishnah and say, look, you're the one who caused this. It's you I was doing the job for. The job caused me this. It should be like the Mabit. Yes?
No.
The taxi driver should say to the guy, it's illegal for me to stay here, I can't wait here, whatever. You know, if you accept upon yourself something illegal,
That's what there's from Shalef.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Because illegal, it has to be an Avera.
You're saying Avera, you're saying
so
a bit of a difference.
Dina Malchusadina, it's an Avera.
Everyone's trying to say Svaros over here. Okay, not bad, you're quite close. Let us therefore see. The Hemshech of the Tashbats. The Tashbats himself is matter this very well. How far do you take this? That because of the job you get fined, you have to pay. When do we say such a thing? Says the Tashbats, number 4. Dima Yodua, Chima Zuyefis. If I ask you, I've asked you to do a transaction with false money. Forged money. I asked you to do a transaction with forged money.
That's an available holiday.
And you know, you, the one who's doing the job, you know this money is forged. You know full well. Yeah. Since you know, you know full well that if you get caught with this counterfeit money, then you are going to get in trouble. You know full well that you're taking a risk, even though you've been asked by somebody else to do the job. But you know you're getting, it's a dangerous business. Like all you said, you should have turned around and said, well, why should I get involved in this? Why, I'm taking a risk. Why should I get involved in this? You should have done that at the beginning. But therefore, when you decided to go ahead and do the job, even though you know it's risky, then when actually it goes sour and you get caught, it's you've damaged yourself. You can't then turn back to the guy who sent you and say, well, you told me to do the job, and because of the job which you told me I got fined, so you should compensate. Then you can't go back, because you knew full well that it was risky, and it was dangerous, and there was consequences involved in this job, and you took the chance. So when you took the chance, you're basically saying, if I get caught, it's on my cheshbon, not on the guy who sent me.
Even if I don't get paid anything for it.
Yes, v'imah v'shaleach v'shiyotah. Only in a case where you were sent by somebody. But Shneich lo yotza, and he didn't know about these rules and these situations, had no idea that it was illegal, and he's just doing the job, and didn't think it was a problem. And then he gets caught because of the job, and he gets fined because of the job. Only then the Meshaleach is chayv and nizik hashem. Only then does the one who sent him have to pay for the damages he's caused. Only if the Shneich is a tam, he doesn't realize what he's getting himself involved in. So, therefore, based on that kalal of the Tashbit, that we only say that you're doing a job and the job makes you get damaged, then the one who said you have to pay, that's only if the one doing the job doesn't realize that it's dangerous. But as soon as he realizes it's dangerous, it's a problem, it's against the law, you could get fines over here, then, and he still decides to do it, then when he actually gets caught, he's basically releasing himself the responsibility for the guy who sent him. He's saying, okay, I'm taking a chance, hopefully everything will go well. If it doesn't go well, you get fined, then you are damaging yourself by taking on such a job. Therefore, when you get asked to take in something illegally into the country, and you know it's illegal, and you get caught, and you get fined, so the one who's going to have to pay for the fine is the shliach, the one who's doing the job, and not the one who sent you.
Circular reason.
To the case of a contractor who builds really for you, have to pay for the fine.
Yes, so that's similar to that. Yes, if he knows that it's illegal work, yes.
Right, but if the shliach coming from overseas doesn't know it's illegal, so he has to bring in some fruits.
Let's say with the boys who got caught in Japan, their defense at the time is they didn't realize what was they're bringing into the country at the time.
Right. Why anyway are we giving $1,000 to bring the suitcase? He's a nice guy.
They didn't realize. In their defense, yes.
Is it an halakha?
If that's true, then monetary penalty they got from that, and the cost of that, would be on the one who sent him. But people who know it's illegal, you bring me 20 packets of cigarettes through the customs, don't tell anybody, you know it's a problem, and you get caught, then you're going to have to pay for the fine for doing the job. And in our case, the taxi driver, he stops at the kicker illegally, and the guy says, wait here, I've got lots of stuff from IKEA to put into the bag, wait here. You know it's illegal to stop over there, and in the meantime, the police catch guy comes over and gives you a fine over there. We have also the same logic over there. Who's going to have to pay for the fine now based on what we said? The taxi driver or Reuven who sent him on the job, I stay in this illegal position. Who's going to be? The taxi driver. He knows full well this position is illegal on the kikar. He knows that there's a police person that could rock up any moment and get fined, and he decides, I'm going to take this chance, I'm going to wait for you while you get your stuff out of the IKEA. He gets fined even though it's because of the job, But since he knew the consequences of that job could do, and he says, I'm still going to do it, then he's going to have to pay for the fine he receives from the police.
But he was so mad on the person. The person said, I'm just getting the bags and I'm coming back.
The police guy can come any second as well.
The shaliach for the cigarettes, he says, I know this is illegal, I'll do it for you on the condition that you paid for the fine if I get caught. Make sense of time.
Then we get into the whole sugya which we discussed of asmach. Which we had all lots of shirim on. In order to get around that, you have to make special contracts and kinyonim to get around the concept. When I'm promised to give you something which I know I'm halakhically not obligated to do, then you get into the concept of the asmachta story.
But even if you pass in as it's an asmachta, it still destroys the svara of the tashpats, because I didn't take on the risk, I thought you were taking on the risk.
I know I'm going to have to pay out. I'm hoping I'm going to get it back from you.
Yeah, if you're indemnifying me, then it's not a risk for me. But the problem with
it is a risk, because I know I have to lay out. And whenever you lay out money, it's a risk. When you lend money to somebody, it's always a risk. Are you ever going to get your money back?
In secular courts, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. You're saying halakhically, though, it's...
there's halakhic Okay, so now let's move to our next case. A common shiloh. Yeah. Ruvain is traveling from New York to Eretz Yisrael, and Shimon's got his daughters living in Eretz Yisrael, so Shimon asks Ruvain, can you take this suitcase for my daughter? In Eretz Yisrael, she's in Yerushalayim, just where you're going. Can you take this suitcase for you? So Shimon asked Reuven to do that. Reuven said, fine, no problem. I'll take it as a special favor. Okay? Reuven now goes to the airport. And Reuven has forgotten that he's taking his wife with him. What does that mean? He knew his wife was coming, but he didn't realize he's forgotten that when the wife comes from New York to America, she brings the whole house except for the kitchen sink. So now they're in the airport, and they're weighing all the suitcases, and the guy behind the desk says, oh, you're overweight over here. Yeah, either I have to pay an extra $125 for the weight, or you have to take one of these suitcases off. So Reuven says, you know what? Yeah. The whole reason I'm overweight, so yeah, I had a huge amount of weight allowance, but I'm still overweight, is because of this extra case which I agreed to take for Shimon. If I take Shimon's case off, then I'm not overweight. But I can't just leave it in the airport. No, I'm going to pay $125 for the extra suitcase, for Shimon's suitcase, and he does that. Now he goes to Shimon and says, I took your suitcase to your daughter, you owe me $125. Does Shimon have to compensate Reuven for the $125 that Reuven gave out in order to get Reuven's suitcase, Shimon's suitcase to Eretz Yisrael?
No.
The truth of the matter
is, doing
a job. Reuven.
Reuven agreed to take the suitcase. That would not be an extra suitcase. Not the thing.
Correct.
His original agreement was not to charge the other guy.
Correct, he wasn't to charge him. But now he's in the situation, something new happens. Upon him, Kodoshes, he's in the airport, he has to make a decision. He has to make a decision now. He's got a suitcase, he either says, bye-bye, suitcase, Mr. Shimon. Or charge.
No, but based on what we said, Shimon should have
Because of the job, I had to pay extra.
And he didn't know there was any risk to it.
And I didn't realize that I was getting risk involved. I didn't get out know there was risk involved.
He didn't know about his wife's stuff.
I would say that when he took the suitcase, he became a shamachina. So he's mechuyev to preserve it for a guy. Even if it means he has to do it at his own expense. He could call Reuven and say, come back, grab your suitcase, I can't take it anymore.
Is it obvious to everyone that he could not at that stage in the airport say, take Shimon, Shimon's suitcase off, just leave it in the airport.
Then he'd have to pay for his suitcase.
He's a showman. He definitely can't do it. So he's mechuyev to keep it there. Now, so I'm looking after your suitcase, and the only way to look after your suitcase is to pay money. What's the halacha if the only way to look after and save your suitcase I have to pay money? Do I therefore get compensated for looking after your suitcase? Because I'm doing a mitzvah here. I'm looking after your suitcase so it doesn't get damaged. Hasuva Savita. I'm looking after it. I'm paying money to look after your suitcase.
It's not an aveda.
Do I get compensated
for that? Care of a shomer. You.
No, because of the kind of suitcase. Not me. I'm fine. The suitcase.
No, you're a shomer, though.
If I don't look after it, then it's it's in the JFK and
you're a partner on Geneva, Aveda, and Onsen. And this doesn't fall into any of those three categories.
It's the airplane who people who are trying to
so stay in the airport and watch it. Stay here. Or call me and I'll come pick it up.
So let us read the Shulchan Aruch and tell me if it fits into this and how it fits into this. Number 5, Kufpei Beisivkim. This is the Ramah. Mi Shesiva Le'echot, she is Asik Lo Be'ezadov. You ask somebody to do a job for you. V'hotzi Lov Hotzos. And in the course of the job that he's asked to do, he actually spends some of his own money. Im Hotzi Lov Yosemin Arigilas. If he spends more than that's normal to do for a job, he can't get his money back. So I'll say, no one thought you would get this. I never thought in the course of this job you would spend this money. You're spending this money, which is not normal. You don't get your money back. But you're not spending more money than it's expected. Even though you didn't get permission to spend it, but you're spending money which is normal and acceptable under the circumstances for the job that you've been asked to do, so even though you didn't tell him you're going to spend the money, now that you spent it, you can get your money back. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says, you're asked to do a job, you spend money without permission of the person who asked you to do the job, you spend money in order to do the job well, you can get your money back if it's normal and expected under the circumstances. If it's not, then you don't get your money back.
This is normal.
So therefore, is this normal, expectable under the circumstances for the job in order to spend it, therefore I get my money back? Or is it not?
It's not normal.
Very simple question. It's not normal. Yes or no?
It's not normal to take an extra suitcase.
And most wives bring extra suitcases, as she said.
No. I don't know about your wife. My wife doesn't bring extra
suitcases. The guy
suggests
it's overweight.
The guy who gave him
the suitcase.
Yes. This suitcase is overweight,
right?
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Let's say it's not overweight. It's like 20. You'll add up to 25 kilos, 30 kilos in the suitcase. Let's say. Yeah. And overall, his suitcase he gave him was 30 kilos. He was in with the weight of the suitcase. Just his weight allowance was 100 kilos, and he had 130 kilos. Yeah. So
why should he be limited to what he takes because he's the only guy a favor? If he decides he wants to bring a bowling ball along, he can't have a good sport.
So you're saying it's expected under these circumstances, it's expected to spend some money to do the job, and therefore, even though I didn't get permission to spend it, but since it's expectable, acceptable, normal expenses for that job, you can ask for the money back. That's what you're saying.
It's not normal, because he said, can you do me a favor? Not can you do me a favor of $125?
Today,
he's
only one suitcase. So if he has somebody take a suitcase, you know he's paying for an extra suitcase.
Yeah, but okay, we're not going with that.
In the old days, we could take two suitcases. The expectation was that I'm only with one suitcase, can you take an extra suitcase without paying for it? And I was understanding there'd be no payment. The nowadays, they want suitcases.
Yeah, but you could be traveling with
people. So go around the table and say, well, everyone, what do you think? Acceptable, and therefore gets his money back or not acceptable, doesn't get his money back.
In the end, his suitcase got there, and it would be cheaper than mailing it, so...
But what if it wasn't even $125 worth of stuff in the suitcase? I would never send it if it was $125.
Get money back. Get money back.
No, it doesn't get his money back.
Get your money back. You pass. Don't get your money back. get his money back.
Get his money back.
Okay, so Morris, we've got 50-50 over here. And
Kimley.
And the phrase, it hurts me to say this, but Mattis is right. Over here, now you do not get your money back.
Why?
You do not get your money back. Why?
Why?
Because when I asked you to do the job, I said, you know, can you do me a favor? I thought you spoke out a bit. Do me a favor. You're going to Yerushalayim. Can you take a suitcase for me? Yeah, what am I expecting? To do it for a favor, yes? Now, because of certain circumstances, you can't do a favor. And you're stuck in the airport, okay?
It's not something.
But I never asked you.
It's still a tear for the schlepping along.
I'm sending her some $5.
I never in the earth thought that I asked you to take a suitcase. It cost about $25. If you told me it cost $125, what would I send to you? You sent me in the house.
Cheaper than mailing it.
You said it was cheaper than mailing, or you would have somebody else who hasn't got this problem. You'll find somebody. Okay, it'll take a bit of time. You'll find somebody. I would just say, don't do the job. I would go to the extent, okay, forget it. $125? Forget it. I would say, keep the suitcase for me. That's what I would, the reaction would be. If I say the reaction, if the reaction is forget the job, then there's nothing to do. I'll shuck it off. Shuck it off is, I want the job. And to do this job, it's impossible only through these expenses. So even though I didn't ask you to do the expenses, but when I asked you to do the job, included in the words, doing the job means these expenses, because the job means these expenses. But here, when I ask you to take suitcase to Yerushalayim, this taking to Yerushalayim doesn't mean expenses. I can get it for free, I can get it for somebody else for free, I can get it through mail, not $125. So when I ask you to take a suitcase, if you want to spend $125, you have to ask me permission beforehand. It's not included in the words, do the job over here. Normally it's included in the words, do the job. Because the job means these expenses. Here it doesn't mean these expenses.
I once had a situation where I upgraded the business. And someone asked me to bring a third to business. So I said, no problem. I'm not going to do business. So
I thought you only get two suitcases. Oh, really?
Don't take my word
on it.
I will,
and then I'll sue you for
the business. Exactly. So I got to the counter and they said, oh no, you have to pay for the third bed. Why? Because you're not upgraded to the full business class. You pay the business class seat, but not the service.
No drinks.
They said you get the old food.
So I had to pay the
So do you get your money back from the Michelin?
If I do, I don't know.
Also, he's asking you because he's expecting. He's also when he's expecting to take it. He's expecting
things that happen.
If his reaction would have been, again, it's going to cost you $50. He says, forget it. I don't want to do the job at all. Or I'll get the job done in somewhere else, which I feel will be cheaper. Then, and he proves his point. Then he wouldn't have to recompensate you because
Messias,
yes,
the person.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you the case which we're going to discuss next week, but we're not going to discuss it this week. You can think about it yourself. We're running out of time. Very interesting case. Reuven and Shimon both live in Eretz Yisrael. And Reuven asks Shimon, you're going to New York? Where is it cheaper to buy computers? In Eretz Yisrael or New York? Where?
New York.
Eretz Yisrael, New York. Where is it cheaper? Computers.
New York.
Laptops.
It's cheaper in New York.
Okay. So, Reuven says to Shimon, here's $5,000. Buy me a $5,000 computer.
This is a customs question again?
Yeah. What about customs? Go through green. No problem, go through green. What happens to get caught? Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. Okay?
That'd be tougher.
I've done it before, no problems before. Shimon says, well, okay, fine. So now Shimon goes to New York and he's advised the $5,000 which he was given to Reuven.
Is he getting paid to do this?
No. And then Shimon says, well, I'm here, you know what? We also need a computer. So he buys a $2,000 computer. So now Shimon is flying back, and in his suitcase is a $5,000 computer and a $2,000 computer. He comes to customs before he goes through the green. He starts to worry. It's the first time he's done something like this. He starts to sweat. He says, well, Reuven said everything would be fine. Let's take some precautions. So he opens up his suitcase. He puts Reuven's $5,000 computer at the bottom. And he puts his $2,000 in the middle. Okay. Goes through customs green. And he's sweating. Not a good thing to do. Immediately call him over. Do you need a tissue? They say. No, didn't need a tissue. He said, put your suitcase into the x-ray machine.
Put your computer in.
So he puts it into the x-ray machine, it goes through, and he says, ah, oh, we see something here. It looks like to us a laptop computer. So he says, I put up my hands. He said, you're right, I've been caught. I didn't realize, I thought personal computers, you don't get to have any problems with customs. Look, I'll take it, open it up. And he shows them the computer and they take it out. And then they close the suitcase. Now they go out and he gets through. So what's happened? His $2,000 computer was taken by customs.
Oh, they didn't just charge the money?
And then they said, you can, oh no, it wasn't. They said, or you can pay the tax, which is $2,000. Yeah.
So they didn't see the guns in his bottom computer until in the x-ray machine.
So what happens? The $5,000 computer got through customs. The $2,000 didn't, and he had to pay the $2,000 to keep it. Okay. So now, why didn't they see the $5,000? Because what he had done, he has put the $5,000 bidiyuk in line with the $2,000. The $2,000 was on top, in line with it, was the $5,000 at the bottom. So when it came up in on the x-ray machine, they only saw one. They opened it up, they took out the one, they didn't see the other as closely they went through. So now Shimon says to Reuven, here's your computer, $5,000 computer, but you owe me money. How much do you owe? What do you mean I owe you money? Well, I told him the whole story. You owe me $2,000. You owes me $2,000. I lost $2,000 because of the job. Okay, you can think about it till next week.
No chance.